Welcome, good morning. Welcome to the April 24th, 2019 meeting of the Legislative Committee. We have five members here this morning, and I understand that's a quorum. So why don't we start with a roll call, please?
On the roll for the Legislative Committee meeting of April 24th, 2019, Director Bowders, Director Canepa, Director Cutter, Director Joya, Director Haggerty, Director Ju, Director Mitchoff, Director Sparing, Director Wagon Connect, Committee Vice Chair Abe Koga, Committee Chair Kim.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. We come to item number two, which is public comment on non-agenda items. It's an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the committee. Good morning, Supervisor. On matters that are not on the agenda. Marcy, do we have any slips? Okay. Let's go on to item number three. We have approval of the minutes of March 27th, 2019. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, let's move on to the first of three updates. Now, item number four is consideration of new bills. Alan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the committee members will also have a one additional bill with a legislative analysis. This is a bill that Jack Broadbent requested that I bring to the committee's attention. It was amended from a spot bill after our last committee meeting. We had thought that the bill wouldn't be moving, but apparently it is moving. It's nothing that I'm asking the committee to take a position on, but I just note that Mr. Broadbent did ask that that I bring this to the committee's attention to know that it's out there. And you've also received an updated bill discussion list as of yesterday afternoon. This week is pretty busy for bills in both houses. If a bill doesn't get out of its committee of origin, then it's really not going anywhere for the rest of this year. And so a lot of committee hearings have had 30 and 40 bills being heard over the course of a couple hours' time. So it's been pretty busy. And so I have a couple bills that I've highlighted in the actual discussion write-up, and then I'll just buzz through a few other bills from the bill discussion list to let folks know what's happening. So Assembly Bill 661, this is the first one. We had a long discussion about this last committee meeting. When the bill was originally written, it was a statewide wildfire smoke emergency plan bill that required every individual air district, 35 of them, to develop a emergency response plan, to develop individual public health thresholds for indoor air quality, outdoor air quality, less than 24-hour time period air quality. There was a lot of problems with the bill. During the discussion, we even talked about actively taking an opposed position on the bill. Subsequent to that, I did work with Assembly Natural Resources staff, provided them with some information that ended up in their analysis. The Assembly member took a lot of requested amendments as part of that analysis, and as of now, this bill is a Sacramento Metro AQMD bill only, and so they have some requirements to do an emergency plan. The indoor air quality part was stripped out of the bill. and developing a public health standard for less than 24-hour particulate isn't left to their discretion, but they have to work with the state board to come up with that type of public health guidance. And so right now, I think the bill is good from our perspective. The SAC Metro Air District believes that they're going to do a great, if the bill passes, they're going to do a great job on this plan, and it's going to serve as a model for everyone else. And so we'll just see what happens as that moves forward. And regardless of whether there's a bill or not, the Bay Area Air District is still working on plans of our own, and so we'll see how that goes as well.
Alan, we have a couple questions.
And I'm assuming that Sacramento knows that we're working on our own plans and others are working on plans, just so that we're coordinating, because the worst thing we can have is a bunch of different plans saying different things all across the state.
Yes, and so through CAPCOA, through the public outreach committees, everyone is familiar that other districts are doing similar type work. At the same time, OSHA standards based on a petition they received from the California Labor Federation, they're working on indoor and outdoor air quality standards for worker health, and that workshop is going to be May 8th in Oakland. And then I've also heard that OEHA and Cal EPA have been thinking about wildfire particulate health standards, and so I did receive a call yesterday from CARB staff, and they thought that with all these groups looking at different health standards, maybe it would be a good idea to get everyone together and see if we could consolidate on a smaller amount of recommendations that we could all agree on. So I think we're going to move in that direction, hopefully.
So, Alan, we had an oppose unless amended on this, right?
My understanding of the let me check the minutes. My understanding of the position we took. That's right. So we had an oppose unless amended position on it. The bill was amended right after our committee meeting and before the district board met after the committee meeting, and so the bill became something that we had requested before we actually had to take that opposed position.
Mr. Chair, well then I would just, we can stay neutral, or do they want our support?
Right now no one's asking for support. We can just continue to watch this and make sure it's a Sacramento only bill.
Well, so our official position is opposed unless amended. Now that it's been amended, are we suggesting we dial this down to a watch?
That's what I'm asking. Yeah, that's why I said asked if they were asking for our support. If they're not, I think we just put it as a watch, neutral, don't do anything.
Okay.
Changing that.
Should we, as a committee, just vote on turning this into a watch as opposed to an oppose?
I would support that.
Then I move that we move this bill to our watch column.
I second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The second bill I've noted is a bill which I'm not asking the committee to take a position on. It's just for information. SB 293 by Senator Nancy Skinner. I'll note that I mistakenly put Oakland as her area. I had Oakland on the brain when I was reading this bill because SB 293 creates an infrastructure financing district for the city of Oakland in the Howard Terminal area for the new Oakland A's stadium. And so the bill itself in the legislative intent does mention a lot of the pollution problems and associated with the West Oakland area, the future stadium and the infrastructure district and the waterfront district, could provide a better environment for the people of Oakland. And so I just thought, with all the work that we're doing in West Oakland for AB 617, that the committee and the board would want to be aware of this bill as it's moving forward.
Director Cutter.
I had occasion to visit the ABI Foundry, which is right across from the Coliseum, and I was visiting on asked to speak just as a member of BACMA and so forth. And so they're very nervous. They're talking not so much a conspiracy theory, but all of a sudden you have this whole area, Coliseum, turning into housing and so forth, with the arena, a little bit of retail, and then if you look across the street, it's a foundry. And they're not sure how the two are going to be able, not getting any clue from Oakland, but the comment was made that they think it's going to come through more severe restrictions from this agency to finally, you know, make it so it's not possible for them to stay in business. And so I said that, you know, we certainly didn't go out stepping with one agency in mind or so forth, that, you know, what's good for the goose is good. And if it's going to come from anywhere, it's going to come from Oakland. So anyway, I'd just like to be conscious of that and making sure as we go forward with things like that, that we keep, you know, you can make a call to them and just, you know, set things right or whatever. Give them a chance to comment.
Director Mitchoff.
Thank you. I appreciate you bringing this to our attention. I think we just continue to ask you all. I don't know that we have to take an official position. There's a lot going on behind the scenes, as we know, and I was just reading in the paper this morning that the county did sell their portion to the A's. The A's want to keep Oracle there. I understand, you know, it would have to go through a lot of land use. I think until we need to, that we just sort of lay low on this one, because you know, the city can zone it for whatever they want and go through that process. Right now, I'm assuming it's zoned recreation, sports, whatever land use they use there. So I appreciate your input, because that's helpful. But I've read this as sort of an anti, that Labor came to her and asked her to do this. And that's fine. But that, as usual with any land use, all these other entities get involved, from my own perspective, for their own parochial reasons, as opposed to the project itself. So that would, I think, thank you, and keep us apprised of what's going on there.
Absolutely. And the last bill, so this was the handout from today. This is Senate Bill 732 from Senator Allen down in Santa Monica. And so this bill would create a sales and use tax district for the South Coast AQMD, where and give them the ability to do a sales and use tax of up to 1% in 0.25% increments. And so Mr. Broadbent had asked me to bring this to the committee's attention. The background document does talk a lot about similar sales and use taxes authorities that have been given up here in the Bay Area to MTC and BART, and so I just bring this to the committee's attention to be aware that that bill is moving forward as well.
I've got a lot of questions. Thank you. We just had our Budget and Finance Committee meeting on Monday, and you know, we're doing good, and we've got, do they have problems with their revenue sources? I mean, I'm sorry, I just, yes, up here we have, we've had legislation, but it's been for transportation improvements. I mean, is this just to continue to fund them, or they're gonna do new things? I feel very, I'm very leery of this kind of a way to go about doing stuff. So do you have any background on why they're seeking this?
So the South Coast has an extreme air quality problem, and in their air quality management plan, they've identified a need of up to, I believe, $1 billion a year for incentives to get reduced NOx and reduced particulate, primarily through electrification. And so this, I believe that this would be their way of, you know, getting a lot of that incentive money to be able to get those reductions they need to meet their attainment requirements.
And I appreciate that, but I don't see Jeff here, but it just seems to me that we get criticized for raising our fees and permits and what have you, that and $1 billion is a lot of money. I'm not saying it's not, but I personally don't think a sales tax is the way to go, but I'm not sure. I appreciate Jack wanted us to be aware of this. Have they asked for our opinion and or support on this?
We've been asked if we've taken a position. So this bill was actually amended after our last committee meeting, and so this is the first time the committee's had a chance to look at it. So my answer to South Coast was no, we haven't taken a position on it. The bill's being heard today in committee. I don't think that there's we don't know what its fate in committee is, and there's still a ways to go before the bill would actually become law. And so my recommendation would be to hold off on making any recommendation on support or opposing the bill for another committee meeting.
And this would only apply to the geographic area that South Coast serves?
Right. This would only apply to the South Coast Air District. It would give them the authority to do a ballot measure to do that sales tax. And so they'd still have to do the two-thirds vote at an election.
And no other air quality district has. I'm just seeing the camel's nose under the tent. I agree with staff's recommendation to let sleeping dogs lie for now. That's my term, not yours.
Director Canada.
So let me understand this. I'm going to be very clear with you, Alan. Are you saying it's staff's recommendation to remain neutral on this particular bill?
I think this would be this came up last minute. We have another meeting May 22nd. So I think what I would recommend is all we can find out the status of the bill in the next week or so, whether it gets out of committee, what happens to it after that. My understanding was the bill was not going to move, and so the fact that it is being heard today is a little bit of a surprise. And so I think what we should do is wait a couple weeks. We have the May 22nd committee meeting. We can discuss it. I'll get some information from South Coast, and I'll talk further with Jack. And if we have a formal recommendation, we'll provide that at the May 22nd meeting.
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to review the bill in its totality. And so I'm in support of the bill. And so I want to talk a little bit about the trigger, right? So we talk about South Coast, right? That's a sister agency of ours. Is that correct?
Yes.
Right. And so my understanding of the bill is that it will go before the voters. Is that correct? You had mentioned that earlier. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And so I guess from a staff level, I mean, I don't understand why we wouldn't support a bill. You had mentioned earlier about $1 billion that it could potentially bring. We know Southern California has a tremendous amount of air quality issues. I don't understand why we wouldn't support the bill now.
I can tell you why I would. I'm not sure.
No, we already heard. Yeah, I heard you. I'm curious from a staff level.
One concern we have, obviously, is the timing of getting it in front of you. The bill wasn't in the package. We're here before you. We could come back at the board meeting next week, I suppose, would be a possibility to take an official position on it. But we had the concern about timing more than anything else. I mean, I think there are a number of issues around these property tax authority grants. You're right. It doesn't. All it does is authorize them to seek it. They would then have to run a campaign and a ballot measure, get two-thirds approval like any other tax before it can be implemented. But there are, as I'm sure your colleagues will share with you, arguments on both sides of whether that authority should exist.
And I think that's where my issue is. You just touched upon it, and we can hear it on on May 22nd.
Yeah.
My issue is just because you give that agency, whatever it is, the authority to do it, ultimately at the end of the day, the decision is before the voters. And so I think for me, when I look at these bills and I understand, you know, sort of make evaluations and value judgments, for me, when we're looking at this particular bill, that's what stood out the most. So giving the voters the ability to make that decision and determination. If they decide they don't want to do it, then that's within their decision. It's within their local jurisdiction. So appreciate the time. Yeah. Looking forward for the bill coming back to us with an update. Thank you.
Yeah.
Director Wagner. Well, I agree with most of what Director Canepa says. But I agree with the staff that this, it wasn't set up for us to hear this today, and I'm not ready to make that decision today. But I would be, you know, I do want to cooperate with our fellow agency, and there's going to be a time that we're going to come and need to do some revenue raising here for something, and we will need support of South Coast. So I don't have a problem with that part, but I believe in following our process.
So, no, I you know, we're certainly not ready, as you've said, to look at this. You know, the 1% sales tax hike is a big deal, and it's a big deal for their voters to grapple with. But that aside, I think a little more narrowly about what our jurisdiction is. I think, you know, our responsibility is to get involved in issues and legislation that directly or maybe indirectly affect us. I don't see this affecting us indirectly. Now, if we want to do this to support a sister agency, that's another issue. It does become a slippery slope. So suffice to say, we're not ready to act on this today, and we can take a closer look at this and see how the board feels or the committee feels back in May, and we'll see where this bill goes. This was a spot bill that just sort of revealed itself recently, and so this may take a couple more twists and turns. Great.
I do agree that I usually vote to put things on the ballot because I do believe it's up to the voters. I guess where I'm coming from, and I appreciate you've put the 7.25%, we don't know what other local taxes they have here. We in the Bay Area are like right up against that ceiling. And some of our other agencies residing in this very building are looking again to go out to raise taxes. And at some point, even though I would want to support a sister agency, it's why I made my earlier comments, I think the public is getting weary of this. And as much as I want to support, my concern is the criticism will be against us that we're continuing to only be a taxing agency when there's so many other needs. And I just think there's other ways to deal with this. But if this is, we'll wait in here. But I did want my colleagues to know that it isn't that I don't normally support these things. But we don't, as I said earlier, we don't know what else is above that 7.25 in this area. And I may sound a little hypocritical because I sit on the Contra Costa Transportation Authority, and we have specific legislation that allows us to go above that ceiling. And again, we're looking at another sales tax, which I do not support. But that was my reasoning for those comments. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Okay, so I'll check the status of the bill as it moves forward, and we'll agendize this formally for the May 22nd meeting.
Perfect.
I'll just run through a couple of bills of interest from the revised bill discussion list, just to keep the committee aware. AB 144 from Assemblymember Aguiar Curry was amended after our last committee meeting to become a solid waste organics and composting bill. What it does is it would task the Strategic Growth Council, which is a state agency that was developed as part of AB 32, to come up with with another plan to deal with organics and organics diversion and composting. There's a lot of plans out there for organics diversion and composting. I'm not sure how creating another one is really going to solve the issue, but that's what 144 does in part. So that's moving forward. It's going to appropriations soon. AB 345 from Assemblymember Murat Suchi. This was another one that was amended after the committee meeting last month. It would create a buffer zone for all new oil and gas development of 2,500 feet from a residence or a school or other community facility, and it also include the redrilling of an idle or previously abandoned well as consider that a new well for purposes of this 2,500 foot buffer. And so this is mostly an issue down in the San Joaquin, where there's a lot of oil and gas development, some of which runs right up next to residences or schools. There was a pretty heated discussion about it earlier this week. It passed out of committee and is moving forward.
Would it affect gas stations?
Not gas stations, just oil and gas drilling. And AB 423, this was the San Diego County Air Pollution Control District Board bill, and so I'm just letting the committee know that it's still a San Diego only bill, and I'll every meeting I'll come and make sure everyone's aware of that.
Which one was that again?
So this would right now San Diego Air District is the largest air district with only county supervisor representation, and so it would change the composition of their board. It also requires the air district to do many new things that they haven't done in the past related to monitoring, transparency, website information provided to the public, and so it'll be interesting to see how it moves forward, whether some of the things that they're required to do that have costs associated with it, whether those get taken out as it moves past appropriations. Assembly Bill 1589 from Assemblymember Salas. So this is would change the Carl Moyer program and allow gasoline tractors to participate in the Carl Moyer program it would allow scrapping of gasoline tractors for the purchase of a Tier 4 diesel tractor. So this is probably not a big deal in the Bay Area for our farmers, but apparently in the San Joaquin there's a fair amount of gasoline powered tractors that have been prevented from being part of the Carl Moyer program, and so this would allow them that opportunity. So it would apply to us as well, to the extent that we have farmers with gas tractors.
Currently the only ones allowed are diesel tractors that are allowed to be traded out.
Right, and so the reasoning is that the past reasoning was you couldn't do a gasoline tractor for a new diesel tractor because there would be an increase in diesel emissions.
Yeah.
and so
it has to be a high.
Right, and so they weren't taking into consideration that yes, that's true, but you're also reducing a lot of NOx, and so this would basically require them to acknowledge that.
Yeah, good.
So Senate Bill 44 from Senator Skinner. This is the ditching dirty diesel bill that was heard in Senate Transportation yesterday. We had a support if amended position on it. In discussions with the senator's staff, it passed out of Transportation yesterday. It's going to Appropriations. They're preparing some amendments that address stakeholder involvement in developing this comprehensive strategy. I was assured that air districts are going to be on that list of stakeholders, and so haven't seen the language yet as it moves forward, but my understanding is that we'll be given a seat at the table for that strategy. SB 45, the Wildfire Drought and Flood Protection Bond, we also had a supportive amended position on that, with the amendment being the addition of Clean Air Centers as a funding category. Clean Air Centers have been added in to that bill under the mitigating climate change impacts in urban areas. So that portion of the bond allocates, would allocate, should the voters approve it, $300 million over the life of the bond for cooling centers, clean air centers, and some other urban projects. And so so we have a support position on that bill as it moves forward.
So, Alan, clean air centers are defined separately from cooling centers?
Yes, yes. There's in the bond bill, they are identified separately. SB 210 from Senator Leyva. This is the heavy-duty diesel smog check program. We had a support position on that. That passed out of Transportation Committee yesterday. I was asked by the senator to appear at the witness table on behalf of the bill, and so I did that along with CalSTART and the Coalition for Clean Air. There's going to be a couple amendments to that bill going forward, mostly to address some concerns from agriculture about having to do a smog check or having to comply with a fix-it ticket during harvest. They want some extra time to make it through that that harvest season if one of their lights goes on for a truck that requires them to do a fix-it. And so the senator's working with agriculture and a couple other stakeholders to make some minor amendments to the bill moving forward. SB 216 from Senator Galgiani, that would add a program within Carl Moyer that would allow a sort of a three-party Carl Moyer transaction. So in other words, you have a owner of a truck or a tractor that would be able to trade that in for a new tractor or truck. They would take their older tractor, if it was still better than someone else's older tractor, they would do a three-party swap, and the other owner would get the slightly used piece of equipment, and he or she would turn in that older piece of equipment, and so which would end up getting a total amount of reductions greater than if it was just a two-party transaction. So this is probably not, and then it would allow that Carl Moyer program to be opted in by the Air District. So it wouldn't be a mandatory program, but if the Air District thought that there were viable emission reductions, they could opt into that program and add it to their Carl Moyer program.
Director Mitchoff.
SB 216 seems to be much more comprehensive than AB 1589. The first question is, should this pass, they're not putting any more money into Carl Moyer. It's just that there'd be more slices of the pie, so to speak.
Right, this would be more slices to the pie. And so in the past, there have been attempts to do these multi-party projects. And the problem is that the way they've been done in the past is you do a swap, and then you take the older vehicle and it's gone to a auction yard or someplace where then you have to find a person that wants that used vehicle, which in many cases requires some maintenance to get it roadworthy again or useful for the new potential owner. And so what this program would do instead is say, we'd like to allow these types of projects to occur, but everyone needs to come in the door together and say, I want the new vehicle, I want this person's older vehicle.
Which makes sense. Right. But you said this is trucks and tractors, whereas AB 1589 was just tractors. So different kind of program. They just want the AB 1589 just wants to come into Carl Moyer. SB 216 wants to come in, but they want to come in. And I get that. I'm just your expertise. Doesn't it seem like these two could be merged at some point?
Well, these are two separate types of Carl Moyer projects.
I see.
So you have the Carl Moyer program, and then within the program there's many different types of projects that you can do, and and I'm sure Damien could explain this.
It's okay. It's just, you know, we want people to have cleaner vehicles, whatever they may be, but then when I see the pie getting sliced smaller and smaller, it doesn't seem like there's enough said.
Right. When a district opts in, when a district does the Carl Moyer program, they opt into the types of projects that they think are going to be best in their district.
Director Wagenknecht?
My only issue with this is that the district has the opt-in or to opt-out on that. That's, you know, because it sounds kind of fishy to me, but I can understand it actually could work if the district sees that. That's fine with me.
And to address that, that was one of our concerns when we were first contacted by the author on this. I met with her along with CAPCOA's lobbyist, and that was our big ask as part of that was, as long as it's not mandatory for districts to participate in this type of program, then I think we're willing to let it go.
It's not. What's the difference between italics and straight in the listing of the different committees?
I should have started off with that. So the italicized portions are just things that have changed since the April 10 version. So this was a revised bill list that I put together yesterday based on things that have happened since the packet was first developed.
The
non-italicized are things that stayed the same from what was in your original packet. Almost done here. So SB 369 from Senator Hertzberg. It's called the Safe Parking Program. I just bring that to everyone's attention because as part of that bill, it would have exempted. So a safe parking program would be an area where people could go if they had a vehicle and they were left to having to use that vehicle as a place to spend the night. The safe parking program would provide or would identify spaces where people could sleep in their cars, but it would have also exempted those people and the cars from having to undergo a smog check. And so we thought that was a little, and the reason for that was they were worried that that people that had to live in their cars might not have their cars registered, and so the non-registration of the vehicle with the requirement of smog check would have created potentially a cycle of you know costs that they wouldn't be able to get out of. And so in reality, what the bill's author was looking for was an ability of a person to bring his vehicle into the consumer protection program, which would do repairs up to a certain cost in order to get those vehicles able to be smog checked. And so the bill was amended yesterday to provide that ability. And so a car will still have to go through smog check, but if a person is in the safe parking program, which municipalities identify, then that person would be able for state consumer assistance for maintenance of their vehicle. And so I think that satisfied what the author and the stakeholders were looking for. So
no, but I understand San Francisco might have done something this week to create a safe parking area. I'm looking at Director Zhu.
Yeah, it was introduced over at our board to take that action. So it's not in response to this, though. Obviously, we've been all tackling kind of the RV and car, sleeping in the car issue in all of our cities. So this is our attempt to try to create a safe space for people and a place for people to go so they're not within the neighborhoods.
Director Wagenknecht?
This doesn't do anything about the large semis that are parking.
No. This is... smaller vehicles,
and a lot of those older RVs or trailers are probably, in some cases, exempt from smog check, aren't they? If they're old enough.
Well, the current exemption would be for vehicles that are before 1977.
Yeah. Okay.
70s.
Yeah. Interesting. Thank you.
Did I hear you mention that some of these cars aren't registered?
Well, I think that's the assumption that if a person has.
I get that. Yeah. My concern is if they're not registered, then they don't have to have insurance. Then if they're driving from this one place to the other, I know we're not taking a position, but it's just a concern. If this bill is just to get them into a program where they can get maintenance done, that's great. But I would hate to see anything where it exempted a car from having to be registered. Granted, people don't register their cars, but we've got stickers to show that. And it's just, I don't want to normalize non-registration right. of cars.
But so I'll take a step back. The purpose of the bill that really was not to address an air quality concern. It was to address a safe parking concern. The smog check was sort of a thing that was thrown into the bill, which we made sure didn't stay in.
But I agree, normalizing uninsured drivers is not acceptable, but that's just our own commentary.
Okay, and so the last bill, SB 629 from Senator McGuire, it's still a spot bill addressing air district hearing boards. I was requested to attend a meeting early next month, and apparently I'll be presented with bill language for winery air quality exemptions, and so I don't know what those what that bill language is going to look like, but I guarantee you that we will discuss it at the May 22nd meeting.
We'll count on that. Okay, anything else in terms of updates?
That's it for the current bills.
Okay. Let's move on to item 5, the Wildfire Smoke Public Health Bill.
Okay, so
36.
Our Clean Air Centers bill passed out of Assembly Natural Resources Committee on April 8th. We had a 11-0 vote, which was nice to have. During the hearing, Assemblymember Wicks accepted amendments that had been proposed by staff, Natural Resources staff, to expand the program statewide, and so right now it's a statewide Clean Air Centers bill. It's going to be heard in Assembly Appropriations next week. My understanding is that the Assembly member is going to waive presentation, and so the bill will go into suspense, meaning it has some sort of a fiscal requirement associated with it, and so our job will be to get it out of suspense and move it forward by identifying some funding for the bill, and so that'll be our next step. I have a meeting with Assembly Budget staff tomorrow to continue to make the pitch. We've been receiving letters of support for the bill from a lot of our fellow air districts, which is nice. And Assemblymember Wicks's staff members have also been helping with some work to try to round up some fiscal support going forward, talking with other Assembly members as part of the budget process. And so my one request from the committee or any of the district board members, if there's any board members that have a relationship with Assembly Member Ting, this would be a good time to offer your services. Okay.
Is there some concern that he might not support the bill?
No, he's the chair of the Assembly Budget Committee.
Oh, I
and
see.
So,
okay, thank
so,
you.
If we
no,
can.
No, I get that. And David probably has the best, but his staff member I'm friends with. So I just wanted to make sure before I placed the call that it wasn't like we're trying to get him to. We're just great if Phil could.
So what I'll do, I have the meeting with Assembly Budget staff tomorrow. I'll get a feel for where we are, and I'll prepare some talking points, and I can work with the committee, and we can make some calls or make some visits.
Do we have any other budget committee members that represent the Bay Area?
Shoot, I should have brought my my list. We do offhand. I'd have to look them up. I don't recall offhand. I'll work on that as well.
Okay. So this is a statewide bill. There was initially some rumors that some air districts might not want this in their jurisdiction. At this point, we don't see any organized opposition to this.
There's no organized opposition to it. When I was doing my my rounds to get support for the bill, there were assembly members that we started off as a Bay Area only bill, and there were assembly members that appreciated that we didn't immediately push for a statewide bill because what is good for the Bay Area is not always good for other parts of the state. And so they appreciated hearing me say that, although it should be good for everyone else. The program as written would create a statewide clean air centers program, and really, if a district wants to provide that incentive funding within their district boundaries, they're going to have to opt into the program and adhere to the guidelines that are developed, and so they'll be on their own to figure out if that's right for them.
So as you go dialing for dollars, we will ultimately have, if this bill passes, a program that all air districts can opt into. Do we envision earmarks for air districts, or would the bill not go there?
I think my personal thought is that this was a bill that was devised here at the Bay Area, and we've done all the work on it. And if the bill's successful and there's funding attached to it, then the Bay Area should get a lion's share of that funding. Obviously we'll have to fight to make that case, but until I see a lot of air districts, showing up for the fight with us, we should plan on trying to get as much of that funding as we can.
And if we advocate for our fair share, would this get identified before it gets out of budget?
There's a couple ways that could happen. A budget trailer bill could identify a split of funding. Things that's happened in the past for certain types of funding. So that would be one option. We can explore that if it's a statewide program and it's administered by a state agency such as CARB. They're going to be developing sort of an allocation process, and we'd make sure that we were involved in that allocation process. Okay. I think with all the work that staff has done, not me, but the district staff that have been working on the Clean Air Centers program, the wildfire emergency response, looking at the costs associated, the types of facilities that would be eligible, the things that we would do to make this a reality should this bill happen. We're well ahead of what any other air district has contemplated, and so if nothing else, we're going to be ready to roll and work with any funding that's available before anyone else, and so I think that should count for something as well.
Director Wagon Connect.
Yeah, that was going to be exactly what I was going to say, is that we're at least ready, and in the immediate years we'll probably be the ones that take the most advantage. My hope is that over the years that other districts would see this as a well, either we cure the wildfire issue and we don't have that, or that other districts would do that and try to save their people too.
Anything else on the bill?
So nothing else on the bill. So I will, after I meet with budget staff tomorrow, I will develop some talking points for the committee members, and we can we can figure out a good line of attack to contact our assembly representatives.
So in the next month, but before we meet in May, what do you see as the roadmap for this bill?
So the roadmap is going to be assembly budget, and so by the time we meet next May 22nd, the governor's May revisions will be out, and so that'll be an indication of any new revenues that the governor feels confident that are available for budget purposes. And the assembly budget and the Senate budget are going to have their competing proposals not too, a couple weeks after that. And so by the time we hit May 22nd, I think we'll be in the thick of budget negotiations. And so leading up to that, we'll want to make sure that our assembly budget request is in.
Great. Any other comments on this bill?
Sounds like it's all on Dave.
No problem. Let's do it together, Karen. Karen works one side, I work the other side. You work the inside, you work the outside.
All right. Thanks again for all that work, Alan, and the staff. Let's move on to item number 6, which is our Sacramento legislative update.
Okay, so this one will be real quick since we talked about it for the most part. The budget is being developed right now. The district has submitted a request letter that's similar to what air districts at large have submitted with respect to overall funding for air quality programs. We requested statewide $400 million for incentives through AB 617. We requested $100 million for AB 617 implementation. Now, this will be funding that would be split among all the districts that participate in AB 617, so it's not just the Bay Area district. And so we're in the process of trying to make those requests a reality by talking with Assembly and Senate staff, and also some of the folks that are well placed to make budget requests happen. So we're still working on that, and that's about everything to report going on in Sacramento.
Director Canepa?
Quick question for you. Are you monitoring what's happening? I know the governor issued a statement yesterday on the increase in gas prices, and that seems to be a big issue. And I'm just wondering if you've heard anything in the Capitol outside of what the governor's doing about maybe some legislative remedies?
I haven't heard any bill ideas being proposed. It's not to say something couldn't be done pretty quickly if they get the idea in their head, but nothing that's gone through normal channels right now.
And so what are you hearing on it in the building? What sort of the conversations taking place? Obviously, for the governor to get out early and get out ahead of it and to basically say, look, it's not, it's not because of, regulation or anything. There's supposed to be a review by a commission to, I think the due date is May 15th. I don't know what that commission is. But I just find it kind of interesting that gas prices continue to increase. WISPA comes out and says, well, it's a potential supply issue on the West Coast. Can you lend us some thoughts to what the administration is thinking about this outrageous increase in gasoline prices throughout the United States or throughout California?
I don't know if I have any special insight on this. I think Governor Brown did an investigation of gas prices a couple years ago when something similar was happening, and the result of that investigation was it was inconclusive, or they couldn't come up with a smoking gun per se to figure it out. So I think it'll actually be interesting under a new administration to see if they can connect the dots and actually come up with something. But I haven't heard anything anything that hasn't been reported in the papers.
Great. Let me ask Mr. Bunger a question, and maybe staff. Have we heard of any issues within our stationary sources around the refinery, you know, the gas refinery, any challenges or issues or anything that would justify an increase in gasoline prices?
There are currently at least a couple of outages. We have had in two of our facilities, there are some outages. One I believe is still nearly fully offline. And then in Southern California, there have also been some refinery outages. So that's a constrained supply situation. You know, if your production, some of the production capacity is offline, that's a little bit offset by the season we're in, because we're in the fuel shift season. And so the markets are a little bit complicated. But at this time of year, the refineries throughout the state shift over to making the summer blend fuel from the winter blend, and so they'd already started that, and they build up a stock, and so it's a little bit complicated, but there are some outages currently at some of the refineries.
Anything else, Alan, on the Sacramento update?
Nothing else.
Okay. Seeing no other comments, item number 7, do we have any additional public comment? All right, thanks, Marcy. Item 8 is committee members' comments. Director Mitchell.
Well, and this goes to item 9, and I know that I'm glad we're meeting as often as we are because we're in the legislative session, but the fourth Wednesday of the month is also the MTC meeting, so yeah. We lose two of our members, Director Spearing and Director Haggerty. I was looking at, pardon me?
And parking.
Well, that's because they allow people to park before 9 o'clock. I've already let them know my feeling on that, not you all. I spoke to Airboard or MTC. Anyway, I don't know that we can change the next meeting, and I know as we move through the year, we won't continue to meet. But I just think it's important to note that we're in conflict with that. And obviously, Director Spearing represents Solano County, and no one else sits on this board here. And Member Cutter, obviously, is in Alameda County. But I just think it's important to note why they're not here.
And that is a standing meeting over there?
Yeah, fourth Wednesday of the month. Yeah.
Well, we can change our meeting.
We can, but we're actually going to meet on the third Wednesday of the month next month because of budget. Normally, I thought, well, we'll just do the third Wednesday, but we're already meeting on the first and third Wednesday next month. We could put it, there's a stationary source on May 20th, so it could follow that. And there's the mobile source meeting on the 23rd, and it could follow that. But again, we all have calendars and we all have other things going on. I don't know if that works, but perhaps staff can poll folks to see. I believe, I don't know who's on which committee, but anyway, that would be an option.
Director Canepa? Oh,
no. Didn't we have an issue? Why don't you explain it, Wayne? I'm sick of being the bad guy today.
Well, we did have an issue on Monday where we backed up committee meetings, and the first committee meeting didn't have enough time, right?
No, I understand.
So our staff will work with the chair to try and figure out a time that's acceptable to the committee.
And that's why I mentioned after June, we're not going to probably be meeting. And so I didn't know if it was worth jumping through hoops for maybe one more meeting. But I did think it was important to note why they're not here.
And I do think it's important. We're having a tough time meeting quorum. We haven't even had Bowders here, who I know has really been passionate about
the radio.
That's right. I heard that. Let's take a second look at this May meeting and see if we can get a better time for folks. So, heads up, you'll get polled.
Or a thought, as a former calendar, May has a fifth week, which usually means no meetings or standard meetings aren't there. So I know that's Memorial Day holiday and maybe people are off, but like the 29th, I don't know if that's too late for what Alan is working, but. Or the 30th, that Wednesday or Thursday, you know, is a thought.
Right.
Every fifth Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I make a motion?
To adjourn?
All right, so you'll poll everybody and see what we can do.
We'll figure it out and come up with a good day.
Well, and again, if those members aren't available on the new date, then don't move it.
Yeah, we'll see if we can do better. All right, having said that, we are adjourned to a date to be determined in May. May 22nd is our default, but stay tuned.
I've got May 22nd.